I guess, how into actually playing the game do you want to get?
I don't know how much time, like, do we have time to figure out and make it coherent? Or do we just, like, you know what I mean? Like, do we go through every character?
We can just go through what every character wants to get at.
Yeah. That might be good for a start, you know?
I don't think we need to play this one.
Yeah.
Because this is frankly unplayable.
Okay. We will have to test that at a later date.
We will have to test it out, yeah.
So I think let's get into it, and then let's just go over
Sweet Oil.
Yeah.
So modern tabletop games might have plot hooks like a mysterious prophecy or like a torn piece of a map or a glowing egg, right? But back in 1980, when tabletop games were just getting started, one company experimented with a game that used plot devices like offshore oil leases, credit card bills, bottles of whiskey, sedatives, and barbiturates. This is Dallas, one of the very first tabletop games based on an existing TV show. In this case, the famous soap opera about oil business in Texas.
All right, let's get into it.
Hey there, mortal ushers.
Welcome to another Flashlight, where we take a deep dive into different tabletop game systems. I'm Production Master Riley.
And I'm Dungeon Inspector Jake. This week, we're learning about one of the first and weirdest IP-based tabletop games, Dallas.
Let's roll initiative.
Cool. So, just to get a flavor of what this is like, Dallas is a soap opera, and we and probably most of the people listening are somewhat too young to remember Dallas's heyday.
Yes.
Shot JR was 1980?
I think so, yeah.
So, but this was like the biggest show on television, and it's about a wealthy family that works in the oil business in Texas.
Yes.
They wear cowboy hats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like that heightened soap opera reality.
Yeah.
And like, I think a heightened soap opera reality is a cool setting for, you know, like, that it is almost a fantasy world, right? Where things operate by slightly different rules.
Yes.
But this one is kind of a strange fit. I guess we can go through an episode of the game to talk about how it works.
Yeah. So like how the game is set up is there's different episodes, which have a collection of scenes.
Yeah.
And then like have like a few scenes per episode, and then there's several episodes in the handbook, and that would be the campaign.
Each episode is actually pretty standalone.
Okay.
It's less about campaigns it's and more just
highly specific Dallas oriented scenarios.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
You could make up your own if you had like encyclopedic knowledge of Dallas lore.
Yeah.
It's wild to think about in 1980 how much lore someone could have, given that, like, there was no wiki. You would have to acquire that lore by, and this is kind of before VCRs, so you would get the lore, I guess, by just obsessively watching the show in syndication?
Yeah.
And,
or following this very detailed player or game guide.
Yeah. Every time you play, it's an episode. An episode is divided into scenes. During a scene, you can use a skill like persuasion, investigation, seduction, coercion. often you are you're negotiating with the other players. You're trying to control some assets in game, and you effectively win if you can control enough of those assets.
Yes.
Maybe we should go through an example to make this a little clearer.
Let's do it.
Cool. So in the episode, one of the episodes from the guide is called Sweet Oil. And in this case, we can just talk through. And like, unlike modern games, you play as one of a specific set of characters, mm-hmm. the Stars of Dallas. But like, okay. In TV shows, there's like a protagonist who's just more powerful than everyone else, and then there's secondary characters. Most tabletop games don't replicate that, because that means that one of the players is just more powerful than everyone else. That's how this works. JR just adds more.
JR, the patriarch of the family.
Yeah, just adds more to all his roles. Everything in this game, you just roll 2d6 to ordinary dice, and you add numbers to it. But like... JR just has like a luck value of 6, you know. He's harder to persuade, coerce, seduce, or investigate than pretty much anyone else. Which is fun. Is Sue Ellen his wife in the show? We should know this.
She's married.
She's married to JR.
Yeah.
She has a special ability to resist seduction by JR, which this game has some female characters are uniformly less powerful than male ones. It's an approach to balance that, you know, would not make sense in a modern game, not just because, wow, this is misogynist, but also it's not going to be fun to play.
As an objectively weaker character with less interesting goals.
Yeah.
And less abilities to do things.
Exactly that. Yeah. Let's talk through an episode just so that people can get a sense of what those goals and abilities look like, right? So in this episode, Sweet Oil, and everyone kind of privately gets some information at the beginning of the episode. So for JR, it's, you have the chance to make a killing and be patriotic at the same time. And he is trying to convince Arab oil magnates that some new oil technology that doesn't exist actually does. Which is, you know, extremely fun. Ellie Ewing is trying to prevent an oil museum from getting founded in the oil town because it's going to use a lot of land in their town. So maybe less fun. I think my favorite character from this episode, Ray Krebs, sees all the Arab oil magnates and is trying to sell them as many horses as possible. And so to win, he needs to have control of like the local press or a forger or who can fake the paperwork that these horses are fancy.
Yes.
Or the Department of the Interior to open more grazing lands. Or, you know, one of these like oil magnates that can sell the horses to the other ones. And so like everyone has a different set of goals. You know, meanwhile, JR, the main character, has like generally more lofty goals compared to the guy who's just trying to sell as many horses with fraudulent paperwork as possible. And, you know, as the scenes go on in each kind of round of initiative, if you want to call it that, of an episode, each phase of the episode is a scene. Right, and people can uncover information during this. So actually, let's try rolling in scene 2. Let's see if Ray Krebs, who's trying to sell horses, would be able to find out that the powerful oil magnate he's trying to sell horses to is actually being targeted by assassins. Which is one of the plot devices in this episode, because this show does kind of go all over the place. So what does Ray Krebs add to investigation checks? So the way this is going to work is that if Ray Krebs wants to investigate to see if the oil magnate that he is trying to fraudulently sell horses to is being targeted by assassins, and he wants to investigate what's going on, he has to choose how many of his finite pool of power to spend on doing so. Ray has 3 power for the episode. So he can spend 0, 1, 2, or 3 on this. JR has 9, right? The main character just gets to succeed on roles better than everyone else. So let's say that you're playing Ray Krebs. You're fraudulently selling horses to oil magnates. How many of your 3 points would you like to spend trying to figure out who is tracking one of the prominent magnates?
Let's go, I guess, with just... I have 3 in total.
You have 3 in total.
I guess I'll try 1.
Cool. The you need to hit a 12 on 2d6 plus 1 to find out about this.
Oh, dang.
Yeah!
So that's a 1.
Uh-oh.
And a 2. That's a four.
That's a four. I
what,
feel...
So what is this scene? I come up and I ask.
You have information. So to get this information, you have to have succeeded on a 12 investigation check.
And each power gives me plus one to a roll?
Yes. Like I said, okay, minor characters do not have a lot of power in this game.
Then the question, do I just get to act out this scene once? Or can I ask them again and keep rolling? Like, I guess, is that up to... Oh, by the way, the GM is called the director.
The GM is called the... Yes!
Yeah.
Because it's like an episode of the show.
Is that the director's decision?
Yeah.
To set up a scene? Or because I feel like maybe if we have multiple encounters that we could... I could need to roll...
Yeah.
I need to roll a perfect roll to succeed at this?
Well,
or I could use
Jock
all my
doesn't. Right. Jock can use a lot of powers. Or there's other modifiers, like if someone does an illegal act, they can add modifiers and things like that. But yeah, this information, according to the guidebook, is given out, quote, as the director sees fit. So the director can just kind of reach in and fuck things up, right? Like, you know, we mentioned previously that one of the things that Ray needs to do is control the Secretary of the Interior to have more space for the illegitimate horses to graze. The director can just declare in scene 3 or 4 the Secretary of the Interior has been replaced, and so any work trying to control the Department of the Interior gets canceled out. Which is, I guess, interesting storytelling, right? You have 5 of these scenes that people can do things in. And, you know, some of these scenes are very relevant to what's going on in the story. You know, in this episode, an item in the Dallas Morning News addresses federal investigation of what may prove to be illegal involvement of local businessmen with Arab governments. You know, so there's... that this is directly relevant to what some of the characters' goals are, what JR's goals are, for example, right? But then later on, it's just the director should review the situation and pass a few secrets to keep the pot boiling. So, compared to like a lot of modern role-playing games, right? They're all really about you're telling a story together.
Yes.
Right? You know, oh, our game puts the story first. And like a lot of these indie RPGs, like, you know, we did a couple weeks ago Radical Catgirl Anarchy.
Yeah.
That's just people sitting around a table telling a story collaboratively.
Right, spitballing, having a quick roll.
Right.
Yeah.
To
move forward.
Here there is a director who can just reach in and fuck around with people's plans to keep the episode exciting. Which is quite a different goal. And like, yeah, I think that this would be a pretty hard game to play at home.
You know what it is too?
What?
It's having the player characters be characters from the show instead of making up your own characters within the universe of like the IP you're working in,
right?
Like
100% that
this feels like an initial attempt to do like a fun RPG in a TV show.
Absolutely.
But really fumbling the ball by like, yeah, of course the main powerful character in the show, if you're playing as him, is going to be the most powerful character compared to a secondary character who is maybe a guest star in most episodes or something like that.
Whose plot line is about illegitimate horses.
Yeah.
And like, you're totally right. This is an era, this is like one of the first IP-based games in an era when like there was a Star Trek game, there was an Indiana Jones game, there was a Judge Dredd game, which sounds unhinged, Marvel, Doctor Who. And a lot of those, I think, like Star Trek lends itself pretty well to just rolling new characters.
Yeah, you are working on the Starship Enterprise. You are not Captain Kirk.
You do not play as Kirk, right. Whereas in Dallas, it's like, in this world, you kind of have to play as JR and Sue Ellen and everyone.
Well, do you? Because I feel like they could make great NPC characters.
So then who would you play as?
You would just play as a new, like a ranch hand or... like a debutante, like...
Oh my gosh! Oh, that sounds so much more fun.
Yeah, like a suitor for Sue Ellen or whoever. or like a JR's side piece, like...
That would be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I think we should try to play this sometime.
Like, remodify the...
Character sheets.
The character sheets, maybe just do away with like the mechanics of the game. They're not making any sense to me and seem...
It sounds like you just want to play like a tabletop game in the world of Dallas, Shorn of the Dallas. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have like fleshed out characters that I think would make great NPCs.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also because there's no... If the game is telling us exactly who these characters are, what their motivations are, what they need to succeed, so you have no autonomy as a... player to create your own story, really. Like,
it's more like a board game,
yeah,
where you have objectives and you're just kind of beelining for those, and this is just early in the process, right? Like, advanced D&D was like AD&D was 3 years old when this game came out. This is just old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they just hadn't figured that out yet, I think.
Right. And Dallas was hot and selling Dallas merchandise.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
This is hot in a way that no TV show again will ever be hot, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, I think. Yeah, it's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, and now we aren't all just stuck watching three networks all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this would be, quite frankly, quite rough to play without some tweaks. You know, the missions are very specific to the lore of Dallas. The default PCs, as we've discussed, are just quite imbalanced. JR is just always better than anyone else. Women characters uniformly have worse stats.
Yeah. Lots of goals for the male characters are to seduce the women.
So the character Ray Krebs, who would be selling the horses, gets bonus points for all the women he seduces. Yeah. Right. Which could use some revision, I think. and also just, you know, in addition to these retrogressive and baffling character decisions, some of the mechanics, like having someone arrested and tried and imprisoned, that's just a series of rapid fire dice rolls in this. That sounds like it should happen on screen, you know. Yeah. That sounds like the exciting part. I do think a similar format would work well, like where you conceive of every session as an episode, would work well for other TV shows. You could homebrew this. I think it would be fun to do this for Riverdale. Where there's a lot of characters, they all have kind of unhinged, larger-than-life plot lines. They definitely have different ability scores from each other.
Yeah.
You know, it could work maybe for something a little more grounded, like Good Wife or Parks and Rec. But I think it's more fun when it is just a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
I guess, what kind of shows do you see this sort of game working for?
Oh, gosh. Gilmore Girls comes to mind.
Whoa! Whoa!
And then this, I guess the stakes would be a lot more like Rory and Lorelai are fighting again.
The hotel's having a tiff with the caterers.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I don't think I've ever watched Gilmore Girls.
Sam from Supernatural is Rory's boyfriend in it.
Ooh.
I think they might both be in Gilmore Girls.
Really? Is that how they got their starts?
I think so, yeah. At least then
15 years of Supernatural.
Yeah. And playing in Supernatural world might work.
I think in that world people have superpowers, so this, it probably needs a system that accounts for that.
Yeah,
I think one of the Supernatural guys is now Texas Ranger.
Hmm.
Like Walker Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
And so he's in the almost the JR world, or almost in the Dallas world rather. Yeah. Like the soapiness of this game is fun.
Yeah.
It's also almost half a century old.
Yeah.
And it really feels like it.
Ugh.
But yeah, I mean, it is a soap opera. So like one of the mechanics you can use, again, you can use seduction against an NPC or against another player. And the idea of using seduction against someone, kind of nightmarish. The idea is that you can use it to get information or change who controls an NPC, I guess, by seducing them.
Hmm.
But, you know, don't get any ideas. Seduction can only be used against characters of the opposite gender. The rule book really wants us to know that there will be no funny business.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I pointing people in the direction of the rules for this seems, after we've been kind of making fun of it, we will link to Simulation Publications Incorporated.
Yeah.
The company that, it's an archive of games and discussions, like,
okay,
from the same company that made Dallas. You can probably find a rule set online for Dallas with some very, like, Googling.
Yeah.
if you're so inclined. It's more of a fun artifact and maybe a template for other TV shows than something that, unless you're like a huge Dallas head in 2023,
yeah,
you'd want to play, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's yeehaw. That's
oh, we didn't get you doing a Texan accent.
I can't.
Yeah, that's totally valid.
Texas, yeehaw.
Oh no.
What's your Texas accent?
Ranch dressing. I don't know. I'm not from this country. Honestly, though.
All right, oh gosh, let's wrap this one up. That is all for this week.
I've been Jake behind the mic.
I'm production master Riley.
And it's still too soon to include a storyline about a plague in your next campaign.
Do you run your own home game? Tell us more about a cool homebrew item. We might feature it in an upcoming episode.
Give us a call and tell us about it at 724-320-2020.
Join us next week when we chat with Chris about knowing when to wrap up a long-running campaign.
For more on the show, including links to all our social media, visit foldedfrequencies.com/campaignspotlight.